Good morning. Please stand as you are able for our call to worship this morning. Let us worship the triune God. Let us worship the one who spoke in the beginning and created something out of nothing. Let us worship the triune God. Let us worship the one who took on the clothing of humanity to set those who were oppressed free. Let us worship the triune God. Let us worship the one whose spirit rests continually upon us, calling us from sorrow-filled endings to bright new beginnings. Amen.
You are here to worship with us. If you're worshiping with us online, please catch the little pop-up box so we know that you're worshiping with us. And on each of our pews, you'll find our registration pad. If you would fill that out, you can tear it out, pass it down the row so your neighbor can fill it out, and you can drop it in the offering plate as it comes by a little later in the service. So we are so glad that you are here. If you're a guest, we are blessed that you are here. And if you're a first-time guest, we're doubly blessed that you're here. If you would, if you've not already, please stop by our greeting center. We have a gift for you, and we want to make sure that you pick it up. So just have a few announcements I'd like to lift up for you. So our men's golf tournament that we had a couple of weeks ago raised just a hair under $14,000, and all of that money has been distributed to local charities, one of which includes HAM, our Humble Area Assistance Ministries, and we are one of their covenant partners. We actually helped kind of create them, and part of our commitment is that we do a covenant food drive. And as our covenant food drive this month and next month, we're collecting cereal. And so that is a huge need for the food bank. So you'll find some bags out in the commons to remind you to bring cereal. But you can bring boxes of cereal and you can drop them in the ham box. And we'll make sure that they get where they're going. So we appreciate your participation in that. So we have a parent meeting coming up today. For the children, it starts at 4 o'clock. And for the youth, it's at 5 o'clock. And so come and meet our new family ministries director, Laura Stinnett, and she can sort of tell you about plans for the summer for both the children and the youth programs, and hope that you, as a parent, will come and be a part of that. So we got a blood drive coming up at the end of the month. Blood supply remains low, so if you can give, please give. There's a little QR code there in your bulletin. If you'll scan that, that will take you right to the sign up, and you can sign up for a time for that. Vacation Bible School is coming up June the 26th through the 30th. We've got well over 200 children already registered, and we'll also be looking for you to come and help be a volunteer. So please, if you want to sign up, we would appreciate you doing so. And just let you in on something that we're coming up on in the future. Our missions group is planning an international missions trip for November or early December. And we've been working with a group called Water to Life. And it is run by my good friend, Bob Ford. He's right here. Bob, stand up and everybody greet him. And this is his wife, Marcia. But Bob will tell you a little bit more about his ministry here in just a little bit. So what a great joy it is to be with you here in worship. So I invite you now to stand and greet your neighbor and offer them the peace of Christ. Kids, all right. It's not quite time for children's time yet, kids. Not time yet.
Just a second.
So it is Senior Recognition Sunday, where we recognize not us seniors with gray hair, but we recognize our high school seniors, those that are graduating, and we have three. And so I'd like to invite them to come forward, please. Come on, seniors. Allie, Holly, Heath. So we have a gift for them. This is for Holly. And Heath, and this would be Allie. So they are receiving a Bible, a Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places That You Will Go, and a $500 scholarship, and that is from you. So We are grateful for your generosity and your support. So, Laura?
I may only have been here for a month, but I must tell you, I am so excited about the seniors and what they're going to be doing. I'm going to let you tell you what they will be doing, where they're graduating from, and where they're going and what they're going to be studying.
Hi, my name is Holly. I will be graduating from Atascocita High School, and I am going to college to study film and television production.
Which she does for us right now, so.
I'm Allie. I'm graduating from Summer Creek. I'm going to study law, national security, and play soccer at Regent University.
Hi, I'm Heath Broderman. I'm graduating from Atascocita High School, and I will be going to A&M Corpus Christi to get a marine biology.
So I must say, I've gotten to know them, as I said before, and I'm very excited about where they're going and what they're doing. I'm very excited about just their future. They have done a great job, and I look forward to what they're going to be doing.
Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, we lift these young adults up to you. They are moving on in their life, and they've reached the goal of graduating high school and are moving on to exciting things. And Father, we just ask that you would be with them, that you would guide them and lead them. We know that your Spirit resides with them and in them and works through them. And Father, we just are so excited about their future. And we ask that you would put around them a hedge of protection, that you would keep them safe, that you would keep them close to you. And Father, we celebrate that these youth are a part of our work, that we have poured into them your love and our love, and that they are going out into the world to be a beacon of your love and your grace. We just ask that you would pour out your love upon them as we send them out amongst the world. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. And all God's children said, amen. Congratulations. Thank you.
Almighty God, bless this gathering of your people this morning, that we may grow and flourish in your love and grace for the purpose to which you have called us. We pray for our community and all those that are around us. We know that so many are struggling, and we ask that you would equip us to be your hands and feet, that we could make our corner of the world a little bit better, that we would reflect your love and grace for all those that need to know you. God, we pray for the people and the families that are around the corner and down the street and in the neighborhoods that are surrounding us, that they would feel drawn to you. We ask that you would bless those families and prepare their hearts. Lord, we lift up the needs of our people this morning, those here in the room worshiping with us, those online, and also those at home. We pray for those who are healing, for those who are still sick, for those who are struggling emotionally or financially. God, there are so many unmet needs, and we know that even though we may not even share them out loud, though nobody else in the world may know what someone is struggling with, we know that you know. And so we lift them up to you this morning with confidence that there is nothing impossible for you and that you answer our prayers. Again, Lord, we are confronted this weekend with news of violence. We lift up prayers this morning for the families of the 9 people who lost their life in a shooting in Allen, Texas. We pray for those who are injured and still trying to recover in the hospital. We pray for those who were there and saw and heard things that they will never forget. We give thanks for the responders who ran to help. For all these people, God, we ask that you would be with them, that you would comfort them, and that you would work within our world for healing and restoration. Lord, even on these dark days, we do not give up hope because we know that your Spirit is alive and at work among us, and we know that we serve a God who is greater than the enemy. And so this morning, we put our hope in you because we know the only hope for all mankind is in the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In all things, Lord, we put our trust in you, and we pray with confidence in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite Bob Ford forward. Mike mentioned that we're planning an international mission trip. As you know, we are so committed to our local missions, but it's been several years since we've been able to do an international mission, and we're excited about the opportunity. Water to Life, you might remember, is an organization that we've supported in the past. We've raised money for the water filters, and now we get to experience actually going and helping install them. And so Bob's going to narrate a video for us and tell us all about it.
In the time frame of the video, but there's no guarantees. I've always warned Mike, if you let me get on the pulpit, I may stay for a long time. Started as a result of a calling to the Methodist Church to go help with the earthquake relief in Haiti in 2011. I went to Haiti along with my sweet wife, Marcia, many, many times, and we were rebuilding houses and schools and churches, and in that process, there was always something that was nagging on my heart, and you'd watch the children as they played, and they would go to streams, puddles, rivers, and just drink filthy, dirty water. I mean, it was just, and it gnawed on me for weeks and months after trips, and finally I was offered the opportunity to work with a group from Missouri to start a water program, and that's where Water to Life started. And in that process, in the last 12 years, we've distributed literally thousands of filters in Haiti, Dominican Republic, and Honduras. Right now our main focus is Cuba, and that is the ministry that I'm hoping your church will go with us. I think Mike said late November, early December. We're working right now in some very small villages which have 200, 300, and 400 households. Our goal is to engage those households, giving them clean water, but also introducing them to the Word of God, to our Father. What we intend to do is we will enter these villages and work with the local leadership and the local churches, and each house will receive a filter which will provide clean water. It strains out all harmful bacteria that we commonly encounter. It's diarrhea, the vomiting, the poor health of everybody. So that's what my goal is. We have a village identified for y'all's church to go to. It's got approximately 300 households, and we will actually go into those houses, engage the families, engage the community, walk the streets, and provide hope to those families and children so that they can live a healthy life with clean water. And I think, as we all know, clean water is the basic of life. You know, it's mentioned so many times in the Bible about the powerful impact the water has on us as Christians, and it's just something that I have a strong passion. It's what I do now. Marsha gracefully lets me go back and forth to Cuba to provide the effort and time I need to do it, and look forward to working with your church, and we will be hopefully seeing y'all soon. The picture on the screen right now is the filter that we use. That's the filter y'all will be passing out. We'll do a lot of training and have a lot of fun and meet a lot of new people and spread the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. You can just put it there on the thing. Will those assisting with offering please come forward? So that's a really exciting opportunity coming up. You'll see some information about it in the coming weeks. So if you're interested, keep an eye out for that. As we come to our time of offering this morning, sorry, we grabbed that. I should have done that. Thanks. As we come to our time of offering this morning, we've tried to make it easy to do that, either online or even via text. And all of you get that you give of your time, your talent, and your treasure to God through this congregation helps this community and helps us have programs for our children, youth, and adults so that everybody can grow closer to the knowledge and the love of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to respond to the generosity of your grace and your love. Be with those in the world who don't have access to clean water, and work within our hearts to know how we can help to further this mission so that this water that people can receive will help to remind them of the living water that you provide for each of us. And as we respond to that living water today, we ask that you would bless these gifts, that they would go out into the community, and that they would be a beacon of light in this dark world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, suddenly being cast into darkness was not the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, we are talking about the Holy Spirit today. Our Wesleyan Orthodoxy Explained sermon series is continuing. We talked about God the Father. We've talked about God the Son. We've talked about the work of the Son. And today we are talking about God the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Holy Trinity. So how many of you remember when the Holy Spirit was called the Holy Ghost? Can you remember that? That they were starting to make that change kind of in our culture when I was a young boy. And I remember sort of really kind of being afraid of the Holy Ghost. And today, as an old man, I am terrified by the Holy Spirit because I never know what it's going to ask me to do. I mean, like, quit your job and go into the ministry or some other crazy things. I ripped my Achilles tendon playing softball some years back, and I went and got treated by a doctor here in Houston, and I was going for a checkup on to see if my tendon was growing back or not. And the night before I go to see this doctor, I have a dream, and the Holy Spirit tells me to tell this doctor, whom I have met once, that God misses him and wants him to come home. So, being a good preacher, I, at the end of my exam, say, "Doctor, do you have just a minute that I can speak privately with you?" And so I tell him, "I'm a preacher. God does weird things with me sometimes. I had a dream about you. God misses you and wants you to come home. I don't know that that means anything to you, but I'm telling you, I've done my job." I have no idea what happened after that. Not a stinking clue what happened after that. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and asks us to do some things, sometimes you don't know the result. You don't know what happens when you follow the musings of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which still scared me as a little kid. You know, Jimmy Buffett has a song of things that he is afraid of, and it's called Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost. This switch to Holy Spirit really sort of has been more of a cultural shift because our understanding of ghost has changed over the years. A ghost now is somebody who's like dead and kind of scary. Either translation is accurate. Spirit or ghost are accurate from the Greek word. But we have moved to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is probably the least talked about, the least preached about person of the Trinity. Yet I believe that the Holy Spirit is the one with which we interact the most. I believe that the Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity that we hear from most often. The Holy Spirit is that little voice in your head. It's that revelation that you have when you're reading the story of the prodigal son for the 101st time and you see something new. That is the Holy Spirit at work in your life. It might even be the Holy Spirit that keeps you awake through most of my sermon. I'd like to think it is. But we understand the Holy Spirit as being co-equal, co-eternal, of the same substance, homoousios is your word, of the Father and the Son. Three persons, one substance. This is what we say in the Nicene Creed about the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. So we understand that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. Let's take a look and see what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. Reading from John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. John, in the earlier part of that chapter, has Jesus say these things as well. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I think what Jesus is describing here for us is those who love Jesus, we will experience through the Holy Spirit a new and distinctive way to experience God. Jesus' followers, the disciples there, got to experience Jesus in person. And Jesus is leaving this earth. And so they are going to have this new experience of experiencing the Spirit of Christ through the Holy Spirit. The physical Jesus is leaving the world, and the Holy Spirit will come and continue his work. I have to say, we Protestants don't talk too much about the Holy Spirit. We sometimes act like the Holy Spirit is something that just showed up at Pentecost, and it's a new thing. And we forget that it's co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son, and it has always been around. The Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, talks a lot about the Holy Spirit being present in those days. So your fancy seminary word of the day is pneumatology. It comes from the Greek word pneuma, which means spirit. And it really is the study of the Holy Spirit. We in the Protestant church, we really kind of need to work a little more on our understanding of the Holy Spirit and fill that out. There's a professor at one of the seminaries named Lyle Dabney, and he is credited with saying, pneumatology is the unfinished business of the Protestant tradition. And I think we do indeed need to do a little more work on the Holy Spirit and what it means for us and in our life. The Holy Spirit works in us, on us, and through us. The Holy Spirit is a part of everything that I do that is not sinful. And He is present with me when I am sinful, and I'm sure that the Holy Spirit is crossing His arms going, Mike. You know you shouldn't do that. The Holy Spirit is a part of us, and everything that we do that is good is because the Holy Spirit is in us. Now, we sometimes can sense when the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Sometimes we cannot. Sometimes when I'm in worship, I can feel the Holy Spirit come and rush through this place, through you or through music or through the words of others. And I'll let you in on a little secret. That when the Holy Spirit arrives, when I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, I cry. Cry like a little girl sometimes when the Holy Spirit shows up. And I don't know why. It's really kind of sad. But if ever you see me tearing up in here, the Holy Spirit's made an entrance. Sometimes we see the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we understand the Holy Spirit is at work within us. Sometimes you don't have a clue that the Holy Spirit is working through you. I'll give you an example. Some years back, I was serving at Lufkin. I was an associate pastor, and we were having some committee meeting, and you all know me. I mean, I'm just like, tell it how it is, right? And so I did. And it sort of changed the direction of the meeting. And three people came up to me separately after that meeting and said, man, I really saw the Holy Spirit working through you in that meeting today. Well, that was the first I'd heard of it. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit was there doing anything through me. And so there are times when the Holy Spirit is working through you and you won't have a clue. The Holy Spirit can be big and loud, and it can sound like a freight train, like what we read about in Pentecost, right? Sometimes that Holy Spirit is like that, or sometimes the Holy Spirit is dramatic, like what we saw happen with the revival at Asbury Seminary. Mostly, my experience is that the Holy Spirit works really quietly, works very subtly in my life. To be sure, there are times that the Holy Spirit kind of smacks me around and says, psh, psh, Mike, what are you doing? But mostly, it works quietly and subtly through you all and through others around me and inside of me. John Wesley, in his letter, it's called A Letter to the Roman Catholic, in which he is talking about all the things that we have in common. And while we have some differences, he asked, the big question that he asked is, why cannot we love the same, even though we have these differences? And John Wesley, in that letter, writes this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit designs His influence to infuse. Sweet, refreshing as the silent dews. It has pleased Him to work the latter way in you from the beginning, and it is not improbable He will continue to work in a gentle and almost insensible manner. Let Him take His own way. He is wiser than you. He will do all things well. Do not reason against Him, but let the prayer of your heart be, mold as thou wilt. I am thy passive clay. know, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we have to give him room. We have to give him space. And I have found that that comes mostly when I'm quiet, when I'm praying, or when I'm just in a room and being quiet. I can hear the Holy Spirit. You know, our lives are so full of noise. I mean, our TVs are on just for background noise. Our phones are never more than 6 inches away from us. We're attached. And when there's quiet, we're looking at Instagram or Reels or all kinds of things just to keep us from being quiet. And so I invite you to find some space, to create some quiet in your life so that you might hear from the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can keep our lives so busy that we can't hear what God is whispering in our ear. So what has the Holy Spirit been up to in your life? Are you listening to it? Are you listening for it? Can you even hear the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to go and to do what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do? Even if it's something crazy like tell a doctor God misses you? Are you willing to go and do what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do? Your helper, your counselor, your teacher, your comforter, he lies within you. He is with you always. Keep your eyes and your ears and your hearts open to the moving of the Holy Spirit, for it is with you always. So we've talked now about all three persons of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Those are sometimes how how the Trinity is presented to us. God the Creator, Son the Redeemer, Holy Spirit the Comforter. These are the names that we use to talk about God. To talk about a God who is truly indescribable. We use mere human words to try to describe something that is indescribable. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of the earlier church fathers, he's from the Eastern Church, whose writings on the Holy Spirit I'm very fond of. His name is Gregory of Nyssa. And he says this about the Holy Spirit: therefore, then, observing the various activities of the transcendent power from each of the activities of God known to us, we fit together the names Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'd love to stand up here and tell you I've got the Trinity all figured out. I know exactly how it works, but that would be a lie. The truth of it is, it's a mystery as to how that all works. And I've sat with confirmands trying to explain to them the concept of the Trinity, and I've talked about the example of water. You experience water as ice or steam or in its liquid form. It's all still H2O, but it's in different forms. In one of the Bible studies, we talked a little bit about that, and that really doesn't hang together because that's like modalism, and that doesn't work. And then there's the idea of, well, the Trinity is like an apple. It's got a skin, and then there's the meat, and then there's the core. And that one really doesn't hang together really all that well either. You know, I've told you that I believe that our being made in the image of God is that we were made to be in community with one another. And I think that is probably the best example of the Trinity that you can come up with. So for instance, me, Mike Tyson, you all experience me as pastor. Some of you experience me as friend. My children experience me as dad. My wife experiences me as her not-so-awesome husband sometimes. I have friends who experience me as friends. I think that's how the Trinity works. I don't think it's just limited to just the three ways that we experience God in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a way to talk about it. We experience God as creator, God as redeemer, God as sustainer. But I believe we also experience God in so many different ways. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make up the Godhead. And by the way we experience God, we come to understand sort of what those three mean, but we can receive more from God than just creator, redeemer, sustainer. I hope that you will, in the coming weeks, continue to think about this mystery that we call the Trinity. I'd love to tell you I have it all figured out, but I don't. But I'll tell you this, it's a mystery, but I believe it, I understand it, and I serve that God with all that I am. And I look for the teachings and the callings of the Holy Spirit, of God in my life. I hope that you too will find some time and some space that you might hear from God, who loves you so very much. Our triune God became one of us and died on a cross that we might have life, eternal life, that we might be forgiven our transgressions and our sins. All of that is done for you and for the world, but for you. Let us pray. Gracious God, please write on our hearts your love for us. Write on our hearts all that you have done for us. Let us be a beacon of your love and of your grace for this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is Communion Sunday, and I'd just like to remind you that this is the Lord's table. It doesn't belong to Atascocita Methodist Church or some denomination. This is God's table, and all are welcome here. We're going to be serving by intinction today. You'll be handed a piece of bread. You can take that, dip it into the cup. Our rails are open. Feel free to stop and kneel and pray on your way back, as long as you'd like. If you need a gluten-free option, we'll have a tray in the middle that will have a small cup and a gluten-free option for you, and you're invited to stop there if you need that option.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he gave thanks to you. He took the bread, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup. He again blessed it. He gave it to his disciples and said, take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. On the day you raised him up from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples. In the breaking of the bread and in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. With the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would those assisting with communion please come forward? Let us pray. Almighty God, we have come and worshiped you, We have been reminded of the price that was paid for our freedom and forgiveness of sin. As we go from this place, allow us to be a beacon of your love and grace. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Please stand as you're able. Join us in our closing hymn today, O Spirit of the Living God.
And a special thanks to Charlotte Riggs. She found the King's Hawaiian bread. Jesus tasted especially good today. Thank you, Charlotte, for doing that. Really appreciate it. Go forth from this place in the name of Christ to allow the Holy Spirit to enter into your life, to hear him, to listen to him, and to do what he commands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.